We're going to read Psalm 11 and Psalm number 12 this evening. What do you do when you feel like you are outnumbered? Have you ever been maybe on a sports team or some kind of a team, and you felt like the teams were extremely unfair, and you were fighting an uphill battle, and the odds were definitely against you. And I remember back in, I think it was first or second grade, and I think we played soccer like just about every day for recess. Well, the teams that day were not had not been picked very fairly, and I was on the team that was the losing team. And, you know, I was maybe getting a little frustrated by it. And so when the goalie had the soccer ball and he was going to drop kick the ball, you know, I just stood right in front of him, and took the ball right in the stomach, I think. But sometimes, you know, what do we do when we feel like, you know, this is just not fair? What do you do when you feel like you are the only one doing right? You know, how do you like it when you feel like you are receiving, you know, double talk? You know, somebody says something really nice to you, to your face, but you know behind the scenes, to everyone else, they're saying something completely different. You know, sometimes with politicians, you can feel like, you know, you call them up on the phone and maybe they respond a certain way. Or maybe they make campaign promises and then they get in office and they do something else. You know, liberals always seem to do what they promise, but if it's on the left, sometimes they promise something conservative and that usually doesn't happen. But, you know, what do you do? Well, in Psalm number 11 and 12, we find the psalmist in a situation where it's like he's one of the only ones here doing what is right. It says in Psalm number 11, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? Sometimes you feel like running away. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and in horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright. Then Psalm 12, to the chief musician upon Sheminith, a psalm of David. The Sheminith there could be a particular way in which it was to be sung. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Notice, though, in verse number 1 of chapter 11, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. So here is a righteous man being attacked by the wicked. You know, why don't you just run from the situation that you're facing? You know, sometimes that's the temptation that we face, Just get out of it. You know, that's the world's answer to problems today. You know, as suicide is escalating, just end your problems. But what they don't realize is that they are starting a problem that is much greater than what they have been going through. In Psalm number 12, he says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." You know, maybe it's a family situation, and what do I do? I'm the only one. How am I supposed to endure the situation that I am in? What can you do? Well, the first thing we must do is to put our confidence in God. You must put your confidence in God. By focusing on your despair, you may become overwhelmed. When those situations arise, you need to make sure that your response is in place. What is that response? Well, what did the psalmist do in Psalm number 12 as he was in despair? "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." You know, you think it says there, "For the faithful fail from among the children of men." He especially needs his help. Why? Well, what is happening to the faithful man? It says the faithful fail. Their impact is ending. You know, it's one thing when there's a faithful person that dies. But it's even worse, as one commentator pointed out, when a faithful person compromises. And now not only do you have the ceasing of their influence, but their influence has turned in the opposite direction. And even more do we need God's help. "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, the faithful fail from among the children of men." Even around us, maybe somebody that you looked up to, that you thought was on the right track, was an encouragement to you, and they fail. Well, where is your confidence need to be put? Your confidence must be in God. Why should we put our confidence in God in these types of situations? Well, we see in Psalm 11 that God is still on His throne. It says, "The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men." We must put our confidence in God in these situations because God is still on His throne. God sees what is happening. His throne is a throne of holiness. It says here, "The Lord is in His holy temple." The Lord's throne is in heaven. You know, we are here on earth. We can see, so to speak, one situation at a time. God is in the throne of heaven, throne room of heaven. He sees everything that is happening on earth. He knows what is happening in every heart of every person here on earth. He knows what has happened in every heart of every person that has ever existed. And when we have that overwhelming feeling of, "What can I do? Where can I go? What use is it?" we must put our confidence in God because He is still on His throne. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 1 says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool." God is still on His throne. Even though the operations of society may be off of what is necessary for a righteous society, you know, you look at verse number 3 there, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" You know, even though the operations of, in use, we see it in our society. You know, how can we function in a place where the foundations are being destroyed? It says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Even though the operations of society may be off of what is necessary for a righteous society, God is still on His throne. What can the righteous do? We think of our own political system, and you think, You look at the court system sometimes nowadays, and it's like, boy, what can be done? We're not operating by those foundational principles that are necessary for a righteous society to operate. And what can you do? Well, we must put our confidence in God. We can't run thinking that's going to solve the problem. We must put our confidence in God, realizing that He is still on His throne. You know, too often we're tempted to I'm not going to do anything. You know, I'm going to give up. I'm going to, you know, why even try to influence? It's not doing any good. You know, our society has gone to the point where the foundations are destroyed. What can we even do? Because things do not operate in a righteous manner. Well, we need to recognize that the Lord is in His holy temple. He understands what's going on. He is still on His throne. God is omniscient. It says here, His eyelids behold, His eyelids try the children of men. He knows everything that is going on. He sees it all. You know, in Genesis chapter 16, as the situation with Hagar and with Ishmael, and as she was out in the wilderness, notice what she says in that situation in Genesis chapter 16. She says, "An angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, because she's, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me?" So here in her distress that she was facing, what did she say? Thou God seest me. And in our day and age in which we live, we need to recognize in the distressful situations that we may find ourselves in, God is omniscient. He sees everything that is going on. And in that situation, in verse number 5, it may be that God is seeking to prove the reality of our relationship with Him. What does it say? It says, "The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth." So the Lord trieth, He proves the righteous. He proves the righteous. Is there that true reality of that relationship with Him? You know, and through those difficult circumstances, as we live for God, as we make the right decision, it can show and prove the reality of our relationship to God. It says, "But the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth." We find we can put our confidence in God not just because He is on the throne, not just because He is omniscient, but because God is the judge. It says, "Upon the wicked He shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and in horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." You know, do we recognize that God is the judge? You know, we may be tempted to flee. We may be tempted to run. We may be tempted to give up saying, boy, is it really worth it? You know, is my life going to make any kind of an impact in the society in which we live? You know, when it seems like the media is the one that's controlling everything, do we recognize that God is still on His throne? Do we recognize the end of the wicked and that God still loves righteousness and that His countenance doth behold the upright? He sees. He recognizes. He blesses. God still blesses those that do what is right. You know, sometimes in the day and age in which we live, and the natural response of the of the media in which we live to something that is right is to seemingly attack it. You know, but when something is wrong, you know, maybe it's covered up if it promotes wickedness. And it's just like, is it worth it? I mean, is there anything, you know, what's going on in our society? Well, we need to remember the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. God is still the judge. You know, our court system is not the ultimate judge of right and wrong. Ultimately, God is still on his throne. We find that we must put our confidence in God. Second, you must bring your troubles to the Lord. Notice what the psalmist did. We looked at already, help, Lord. For the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Do we recognize that the Lord is our only help? He is the one we must go to. He is the one that can produce the change. Help, Lord. We can't do it. You know, you try to remain faithful to the Lord in the society in which we live, in your own strength, and you're going to fail. You're going to want to give up. And that's why you must run to the Lord. In Psalm 61, and verse number 2, it says, from the end of the earth, well, verse 1, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. Psalm 61, verse 1. It says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. It says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock, that place of stability that is higher than I. You know, in times of trouble, in that times of distress, what do we need to do? We need to bring our troubles to the Lord. When we are overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You know, is that the habit that we have? We cry out to God for Him to rescue us from that situation. Like the psalmist said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my strength, my God in whom I will trust. And I messed up quoting it, but the horn and the rock of my salvation. Is that who we run to? You know, have we put too much confidence in man? Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. You know, we were just talking with Pastor Hatchett this afternoon. You know, and some of the things, you know, we were talking about particular situation or two, and you know, there are godly men, there are faithful people that have failed. You know, and what is going to be our response to those situations? Well, we need to cry out to the Lord for help. But also we need to realize, we need to recognize the true nature or the true end of the enemy that we are facing. You know, some people, instead of recognizing the true nature of the enemy, instead of recognizing the end of the enemy, they think, what use is it? And then they join the opposite side. But what is the response? Notice what the psalmist says. It says, they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. There's an emptiness, there's a falsehood that characterizes their speech. It says, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. So there's two hearts. It's like in the Old Testament when it talks about, you know, the false balance. All right? There's two balances. You know, one balance maybe that you buy with and one balance that you sell with. Here, there's a double heart. There's two hearts. Maybe one heart that they talk with you with and then another heart that they talk to everyone else about you with. So there is this deceitfulness. But notice what it says in verse 3. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. verse 4, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? So what is one of the chief instruments of these people? It is their tongue. You know, James talks about the power of the tongue. The book of Proverbs talks about the power of the tongue. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And you know, in the day and age in which we live, the tongue is a very powerful object of the enemy. Now, it may be that, you know, the speech may not necessarily be something you hear somebody personally say. It may be. It may be speech that somebody is, you know, writing over the internet. It may be some book that somebody has written. But ultimately, what is it? Well, it is speech. It is the communication of someone's heart to someone else. And there is much vanity. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. There is flattering lips. There is a false building up of someone else to accomplish that person's purpose. You know, we must be warned. We must understand the true nature of the enemy that we are facing. You know, there are many words out there that we must be careful of. You know, one of the tactics that Satan uses is the tongue. And he uses flattery, you know, to draw us in so we feel good. So the person maybe that's speaking to us, you know, they want to make us feel good about who we are and use that flattering speech, and it's only going to destroy our lives. And ultimately, what does it result in? Verse 5, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. All right, they are using their tongue for their own purposes, for their own benefit, and it ultimately is cutting other people down. You know, when you have somebody, you know, who is the one that's going to get ripped off, so to speak? You know, do you hear of the richest people in the world as the ones that are getting ripped off in a society? Well, I mean, they may. But notice what it says, the oppression of the poor, those that are in need, the sighing of the needy. It says, now will I arise, saith the Lord, I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. All right, the true nature of the enemy. What is going to happen? Well, verse 3, the Lord is going to cut off all flattering lips and tongue that speaketh proud things. You know, when we need to be looking out for that kind of speech. You know, it's so easy to speak one way to somebody in real person, but then maybe to speak another way about that person, you know, when we're not with them. And what does the Lord say? The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. You know, if somebody's with you and they're, you know, they're constantly talking about other people, and, you know, be warned, you know, because that person may be talking about you, you know, to other people. And, you know, the Lord says he's going to cut off flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. We need to recognize the true nature of the enemy that we are facing. Don't participate in it. We need to make sure we're not using our mouth to accomplish the wrong purposes. Don't speak one way to a person to their face, but another way behind their back. You know, in verse number 8, it says, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. You know, we can tell what kind of an environment we are in by the type of people that are being lifted up. And you want to understand the true nature of the situation that you're in, look at who's being lifted up. You know, look at who's being put in position, so to speak. And you'll know what is really going on. As we continue on in verse number 12, though, we find where we can truly place our confidence. We have a contrast here between the words of the wicked, their flattering words, the deceitful words, the falsehood, and we find the words of God, which we can truly place our confidence in. You know, nowadays, you wonder, you know, what can you believe? But it says in verse number 6, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. There is no flattery. There is no pride. There is no falsehood. There is no deceit. It is our words that are purified. There is no dross. There is nothing in them. It is something we can place our complete confidence and assurance in. And in the troubling times in which we live, we need to recognize that we have the pure Word of God that we can put our confidence upon so that we can fight the falsehood that we are facing. You know, when a troubling situation comes up, you know, don't pick up the, you know, latest newspaper, so to speak, or the latest book that so-and-so has just printed. You know, pick up the Word of God. Study it. Get your answers from it. You know, are you spending more time, you know, reading what everyone else has said? Or are you spending your time reading what the Word of God has said? The words which have been purified, the words which are pure, which have no dross in them. It says, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. We can have put our confidence in God's Word, that it has been preserved for us, and that we don't have to worry about what we're going to get from it. It's going to be, we can put our complete confidence in it. You know, the last thing we should do is what the wicked were advising, or others were advising to the psalmist in Psalm chapter 11. You know, we find positive things we can do in those situations. Put your confidence in the Lord. Bring your troubles to the Lord. Recognize the true nature of the enemy. Place your confidence in the words of God. But lastly, don't run. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? All right, don't run. You know, we're not trying to pick on the birds here, but, you know, don't try to fly away from your problems. You know, isolating yourself, thinking that that's going to solve things. You know, don't try to get out of the situation as the end of the situation. If I can just get out of it, it'll take care of itself. No, that is not what God has called us to do. Just run. We need to put our confidence in God. We need to recognize that He is still on the throne. That God still is omniscient. That He sees everything that is going on. That God is still holy. That His eyelids still try the children of men. And we may be tempted to run. We may be tempted to give up. We may be tempted to think, what kind of influence can I have in the society in which I live? When falsehood, when flattering lips are being promulgated all over the place. But don't run. God is still ruling and reigning. You know, but also we need to make sure that we are not the godly man that is ceasing. That we are not one of those faithful that is failing from among the children of men. And that our testimony is not one that could cause despair or discouragement in others' lives because we have given in to the vanity of the world around us. You know, hopefully it would not be said of any of our lives, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. You know, it's possible. We see it happening all around us many times, the faithful failing. And that is why our confidence must be in the Lord. There's nowhere else that we can turn. No one else that we can turn to. I wonder this evening, where is your confidence? Is your confidence in God? Have the situations that have been arising in your life, have they been overwhelming you? And you feel like you just need to run to get away from them? Or have you realized that this is an opportunity for you to turn to the Lord and to put your complete confidence in Him and watch Him sit on His throne, so to speak, and to rule and to reign in your life, and to take that situation and to turn it around for His honor and for His glory, and that He might prove the reality of the relationship that you have with Him. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. The righteous Lord loveth righteousness. You know, you might feel like you are the only one, but you can rest assured that the Lord still loves those that are doing right, particularly when no one else around them is doing what is right. It says, His countenance doth behold the upright. You know, we can leave from here tonight resting assured that God sees what we are doing. You know, there may not be any other human recognition. You know, today many times it's like everything has to be recognized. You know, it's like we live in a society in which there has to be a reward for everything. You know, but as believers, we need to recognize that we need to keep our eyes on the fact that God sees what we are doing, that His countenance doth behold the upright. And that ought to be enough to keep us faithful to Him in spite of the circumstances that may be around us, even though we may be the only one doing what is right. You know, is the heart cry of your heart tonight, help, Lord? Or is it flee? Which one is it this evening? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that You would help us in the overwhelming circumstances of life, when we are tempted to give up, to think that it's not worth it. Lord, that we would put our confidence in You. Lord, I pray tonight that each one of us might have a renewed sense of the fact that You are on Your throne. Lord, and in spite of the wicked world in which we live, Lord, that You are still ruling and reigning. And Lord, it is not time for us to flee and to run, Lord, but it is time for us to put our confidence in You. And Lord, to stand firm upon the pure Word of God, and to put our confidence in the truth, Lord, that You have given to us. Lord, it's not time to worry about all the false things that may be said about us. Lord, but it's time for us to put our confidence in you. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed this evening, you know, have you been overwhelmed? You know, have you been maybe discouraged by a situation in your life where you feel like it's like you're trying to fight for what's right, but it's like there's no one else around you, maybe a family situation, maybe a work situation? You need to realize you need to put your confidence in God, not run from the situation, not try to get out of the situation, but realize that God is in control and He is still on His throne, and ultimately God is going to bless your faithfulness in doing what is right, and sin is going to be put down. You say, you know, tonight the Lord has maybe just encouraged your heart, maybe challenged your heart to stay faithful in that situation and not to give in to the pressures that are mounting around you. Is there anyone like that tonight? The Lord is working your heart in that area. All right, is there anyone else this evening? You know, maybe tonight you need to recognize, you know what? The faithful fail. The godly man ceaseth. You know, are you going to be one of those people that gives in to the vanity, that gives in to the flattering lips? Or are you going to stay faithful to God, recognizing it is only by His grace that you can stand? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would just help us, Lord, to put our complete confidence in you. Lord, in spite of the temptations that we may face to run, or, Lord, to feel like, what good is our influence doing? Lord, we need to remember that you are still on the throne, that you are the victor, Lord, that ultimately sin will be banished and righteousness will rule and reign. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.